the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
Our Ask the Experts weekend continues with Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor. Brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. To ask a question, give us a call at 340-1045.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and happy Saturday. You're listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. Tim Tompkins here, and we have a very, very special show today, and it's really exciting because normally we come in here and we answer the health questions that you have, and that's great. That's wonderful. But today, we're celebrating 100 years of St. Vincent's in the Jacksonville community making a difference. And it's a bit of a special show. It's the first time that since I've been a host, we've done this. But we have Father Chua here in the studio with us. He's a system director of formation and ethics for St. Vincent's Healthcare, as well as a doctor himself. We also have returning to the program, and it's so nice to have you back. I emailed and said I wanted to have you back, so it looks like they listened. I have Dr. Oza here in the studio. He is a cardiac electrophysiologist and chief of cardiology at St. Vincent's Riverside. Father, doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're going to spend some time and we're going to talk about the history of St. Vincent's, which I really want to encourage anybody that is a history buff or anything like that, if you like going around antique stores, to go to jackshealth.com and you can look at the history. And there's some really cool letters that were they were written by the original pastors or that were in the community, and they had written these letters, and they're 100 years old to the missionaries, and it's a really cool letter. And there's also these really cool pictures that are about 100 years old, and it really goes into how long you guys have been in Jacksonville, and you've really been helping. And so, doctor, what makes you're in cardiology, and what makes St. Vincent's cardiology, what makes that so special and innovative, and how do you guys keep on top of these current trends?
Yeah, I think the most the most exciting part about St. Vincent's is that we've been around for 100 years, kind of been the leaders the whole time in the community in terms of medicine. We're the first people to put pacemakers in. We're the first people to put stents in Jacksonville. We continue to innovate. We continue to have the support from the hospital that, our administration and our leaders are very forward thinking. So we're able to really, stay on the forefront. I can't speak for what happened 100 years ago, but as long as I've been here and as long as I've heard from people, St. Vincent's has been the leader in cardiac care and medical care in general in Jacksonville. So it's very exciting to kind of celebrate this 100th anniversary.
So St. Vincent's was the first hospital to perform open heart surgery in Jacksonville. Today, 30% of all open heart surgeries in Jacksonville happen at St. Vincent's Riverside. And that letter I was talking about, it was written by the Bishop of St. Augustine. And in the letter, it said that I visited St. Vincent's in Jacksonville a few days ago and was pleased to find everything going on splendidly. I believe that in a few years, it will be the first hospital of Florida, and the work will call for new and enlarged buildings. And that's fantastic.
It's pretty neat looking at that, looking at the hospital from that perspective. So long ago that they had the vision about our leading the city in healthcare.
It was sent to the Daughters of Charity, and in 1916, part of this letter right here said that Jacksonville was a community with upwards of 70,000 people. And that is...
We've grown somewhat.
Just a little bit. So, Father, I was hoping that you could kind of walk me a little bit through the history of St. Vincent's and how it all started and how the Daughters of Charity played into that.
Yeah. St. Vincent's started with the birth of Vincent de Paul in a place called Puy in France. And he was born in a poor family, very poor, so poor that they had to sell part of their property to send him to school. And he was ordained a priest in the year 1600, and unfortunately sent to Tunis in Africa as a slave, where he escaped miraculously and came back to France and realized his calling to serving the poor. He felt like he had fire in his heart to help the poor people of France. And so he started a group he called Ladies of Charity. And these were ladies who would provide from their resources and help the poor people of France. Later on, he was joined by St. Louis de Marillac. Now, this one came from a wealthy family, and she adopted Vincent as her spiritual director. And soon she fell in love with what Vincent was doing, along with the Ladies of Charity, and made her home a center for training of the Ladies of Charity on how to care for the poor. Now, this was a major boost for Vincent de Paul's mission. Now, later on, together, St. Vincent and St. Louis de Marillac, in the year 1633, you know, they started the Daughters of Charity, mm-hmm. Sisters of Charity of mm-hmm. St. Vincent de Paul. And eventually, something else which started here in the United States by St. Elizabeth Ann joined them. Elizabeth was born and orphaned in 3 years. She was born in the year 1774. And by the year 1778, her mother died. She married a guy called William Seton, who suffered from tuberculosis and eventually died in Italy. Elizabeth started St. Joseph Academy, and later Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph. And in the year 1810, this community, this religious community, took the rule of St. Francis of St. Vincent de Paul, and that is considered to be the official birth of Daughters of Charity here in the United States.
Yeah, and within their first year here in Jacksonville, they treated 622 patients at St. Vincent's, which is a huge amount. And I believe there were three, four, five of them. It's not like there was a ton when they first started out either. And mm-hmm. and so in that letter by the Bishop of St. Augustine I was talking about, which is on jackshealth.com, and he was mm-hmm. asking for one or two more. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really remarkable stuff. There's also a really cool picture of them. And, you know, the picture's like 100 years old.
Yes.
It's just great to see how that happens. And I also want to talk about what they do now, the Daughters of Charity. They have ministries now, and what does that include?
Their special charism, actually, their ministry is the same, to the poor, the sick, the people who live in the margins of the society. And, of course, the ministry has grown. It has become global. So they have not deviated from their original charism of serving the poor, people suffering from material poverty or poverty in spirit or poverty of health. So they're keeping the dream going.
Yeah, how do you continue to live that mission?
St. Vincent's has always strived to live that mission of St. Francis by actually reaching out to the poor. You can see now in our Jacksonville area that we are practically the only healthcare organization with a mobile unit that goes out there in the neighborhoods searching for the poor people and help them, you know, treat them. We do provide a lot of charity. You know, people come to our facilities for food, for even financial help, and we do provide from St. Vincent's. We help our associates too to give to the community in many different ways. Only last year we gave more than 25,000 meals to feed the homebound.
I'm so glad you just brought that up. I saw a video of it. We actually just tweeted that out. Mm-hmm. If you want to give us a follow at WOKV News, and it's a really, really fantastic video. So you had 25,000 meals in collaboration with Hunger Fight. And how mm-hmm. was that experience?
That was a unique experience because our associates had the privilege to really become part of that mission. And they were very happy. Huge turnout. People wanted to be part of this big mission. And they were happy that they could be part of it. And we will keep this going.
And coming up in March of this year, you're hosting your very first medical mission at home, and it's going to be It's March 5th, and it's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's on Saturday, March 5th, at the downtown campus of Florida State College of Jacksonville. And what exactly is going to be going on there that people can expect?
The people are going to know, first of all, what St. Vincent organizations do. They're going to get to the heart of our mission. They're going to experience the spirit itself, you know, the spirit of St. Vincent at work. We're going to take care of the poor people. We're going to take care of, the sick people around. And we're going to engage the community and our associates in a very special way doing this.
And if you happen to be listening now and you want to know how your organization can be a part of this Saturday, March 5th, the number to call is 904-308-4041. Again, that's 904-308-4041. But you are listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. And the phone lines are open. I have Dr. Oza, here in the studio with me. And the mission for St. Vincent's is above, beyond, because. And I'm wondering, working at St. Vincent's and with St. Vincent's, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think, that mantra kind of goes deeper than just words. I mean, I think you look at the nurses, you look at the staff at St. Vincent's. It's really amazing to see how much they care and how much that really comes through to the patients. I have patients come to me almost on a daily basis that, they appreciate what I've done, but they say, I truly, truly feel like I got exceptional care because of this particular nurse. She really went above and beyond what she needed to do because of this surgical tech, because of this person in the hospital. They really do help us treat these patients. We provide the medical care and the expertise, but it's really all the care that goes on afterwards and before we do our procedures that really make the patient experience really gratifying.
In the cardiovascular department over at St. Vincent's, it's renowned across the country, and it's one of the largest and most comprehensive programs between Atlanta and Orlando, and that's saying a lot right there. You're talking about AFib, and you have 3 million Americans that suffer from it. By 2050, they're expecting close to 12 million Americans, and the median age for men being 66, the median age for women being 74. And when I was reading about how St. Vincent's helps patients with this, a lot of it was talking about non-invasive procedures. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping you could talk to me a little bit about those and what also non-invasive means in that aspect.
So, there's a lot of things that we do at St. Vincent's that really have kept us on the forefront of treating AFib. I just talked to our lab director earlier today, and she told us we've done almost 500 AFib ablations, which is an astounding number from where we came from when the AFib Institute started in 2008. We started off doing 50, 100 ablations a year, which was, in line with most places in the country, but 500 is truly, it puts us amongst the elite institutions such as Mayo Clinic, Harvard, Cleveland Clinic. Definitely in the city, we do far more than anybody else, which really allows us to stay at the cutting edge because we're offered all the newest trials, we're offered all the newest equipment in order to treat these patients. We just started performing the convergent procedure several months ago, and that procedure essentially we work with our cardiac surgeons, who they themselves are on the cutting edge of cardiac surgery, and we treat AFib in conjunction with them. They actually cauterize areas on the outside of the heart that cause AFib, and we go in from the inside through just small needle sticks in the leg and very minimally invasively allow a more comprehensive treatment for advanced AFib patients. Other techniques that reduce stroke, the Lariat procedure, which I think I've talked about on the show before, where just through needle sticks just below the sternum or the chest bone and needle stick access in the leg, we're able to isolate and actually sew off an area of the heart that causes stroke. So patients who are unable to take blood thinners or anticoagulants to prevent stroke, people that are unable to take those can actually lower their risk of stroke through this procedure. So that very high-risk population is able to benefit from this procedure, and that's really not done anywhere else in Jacksonville. There's other procedures such as cryoablation, which are starting to evolve at St. Vincent's. So we have a lot of different things in the pipeline.
And we have lots more time coming up. Again, those phone lines are open, and the number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. You're listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Our Ask the Experts weekend continues with Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor. Brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. To ask a question, give us a call at 340-1045.
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Saturday. Welcome back to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Father Chua here in the studio with me. He is the System Director of Formation and Ethics for St. Vincent's Healthcare. I also have returning, which is really awesome news to me, Dr. Oza. He's a cardiac electrophysiologist and Chief of Cardiology at St. Vincent's Riverside. And this is kind of a special episode of Ask the Doctor because we're celebrating St. Vincent's making an impact in the Jacksonville community for 100 years. And Father, I guess I just want to start this off with you. And I'm wondering how you think that faith plays a part in the healing process for people.
Yeah, I think faith plays a huge role in the healing process because we realize that a human person is not just a body. We are psychosocial, spiritual, emotional beings. And these aspects of a human person make the unity that we call a human being. And so what we believe affects who we are, it affects our bodies. And for healing to take place, I believe the physician has to believe that what he or she is doing will be beneficial to the patient, and the patient has to be open to it with the faith that the intervention will help. Faith in God plays even a major role because of that openness to the fact that there is a being higher than ourselves that can help. So the activity of the physician can be enabled by God himself. And in a way, this affects body chemistry. It opens the body and puts it on the road to recovery. We see that in the scriptures, Christian scriptures, Jesus always demanded that. He asked the people, do you believe that I can do this? And on the faith of the recipient of healing, Jesus acted. So faith has a tremendous role in healing. We have seen also in hospitals, the patients who have been visited by chaplains or their pastors do much better than those who have not been visited, and especially those who have been prayed over. So faith definitely has a huge role in the process of healing.
And does St. Vincent's welcome non-Catholic ministries for patients who might not be Catholic?
Definitely. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Actually, among the team of chaplains, we have chaplains from all faith traditions, several, just to make sure that everybody is covered. And our chaplains here are trained, they're professional, to minister to people from faith traditions. But we are, yes, open to people coming from any faith tradition to take care, the spiritual care of their patients at St. Vincent's.
And Father, how did your life lead you to work with St. Vincent's?
It's a long story. Okay. Yeah, I do come from Africa, Kilimanjaro, Tanzania, and I was sent to Cleveland, Ohio to work as a chaplain of a nursing home and a living assisted living facility there. But then I got scholarships to do a master's degree in theology, and then I ended up doing a PhD in bioethics and healthcare ethics. And I was searching for a place to go to as I'm writing my dissertation, and St. Vincent's was open to receive me as a chaplain, and I worked there for 5 years before I got the job I have now as Director of Ethics and Formation.
Yeah, it must be incredibly rewarding. Are you at the Riverside location?
Yes, my office is at Riverside, but I take care of all St. Vincent's facilities.
And, you know, of course, the what St. Vincent's lives by is above, beyond, because. Yes. And I was able to ask Dr. Oza what that meant to him, but what does that mean to you?
You know, to me, I think you have even a better experience of this because having functioned as a chaplain, people confide in me. And, you know, they speak of the doctors, the nurses, even the housekeeping staff, how kind everybody is. They, you know, that experience of feeling that you matter, you are important, that people think about your well-being, people are concerned about you. That has been like a common experience of every patient that comes to St. Vincent's. And usually they tell chaplains, because chaplains try to go to the areas which other people don't go to. Like, how are you feeling today? How is your experience here? Is there anything I can do? And you know, because they don't have an agenda, they are not coming to diagnose anything. They're just open to the patient. Whatever patient has to say, I've heard a lot. People saying, I'm so happy I came here. You know, even if they have bad news, like, you know, terrible cancer that has metastasized, they still feel like, oh my goodness, everybody is so caring, everybody is so kind to me. And that is a wonderful experience for anybody working at St. Vincent's. You feel like you have gone beyond the requirements of what you need to do, and that fulfills you as a person. It makes you feel that you are a person on a mission and that your mission works. For me, I feel a big part of the dream of St. Vincent's and St. Louis de Marillac and St. Elizabeth and Seton, because that's what they wanted. Make a difference. Make everybody feel that they matter. They're important. As human, they're equal to every other human being. And seeing that you have this selfless staff coming in and spending all their time with an individual patient, that's very rewarding.
Yeah, somebody told me a really cool story about how they were actually staying at St. Vincent's, and you know, a priest came in to visit them, and they thought at first that it was somebody coming in and read their last rites, and yes, they were all scared. That wasn't the case. They were just coming in to say hi, yes, and you know, see how they were doing, and I think it's wonderful. Well, we have plenty of time coming up here on Ask the Doctor. The phone lines are open if you have a question for either the father or the doctor. The number is 904-340-1045. News, weather, and traffic coming up right now.
Our Ask the Experts weekend continues with Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor. Brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. To ask a question, give us a call at 340-1045.
Happy Saturday, everybody, and you are listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's, and this week we're doing something that we haven't done before, and that's because it hasn't happened until this year, and we are celebrating 100 years of service by St. Vincent's here in Jacksonville, as well as just being absolute pioneers in the field of cardiology here in Jacksonville as well. I have Father Chiwa here in the studio with us. He is the System Director of Formation and Ethics for St. Vincent's Healthcare. I also have Dr. Oza here in the studio as well, cardiac electrophysiologist and chief cardiology at St. Vincent's Riverside. That is does that fit on a business card?
Just very small type.
Okay, I got you. And those phone lines are open. The number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 340-1045. And we do have Richard on the line. Richard, you are on Ask the Doctor.
Okay, I was just saying that in 1944, my family was vacationing in Lake Worth, Florida, and my dad was suffering from a rheumatic heart. And on our trip back to Ohio, he had a severe problem, and we stopped in St. Augustine. They couldn't help him, and we ended up in Jacksonville at St. Vincent's. And like I say, you know, back then they didn't have open heart surgery. Today they would have done a valve job and possibly extended his life, but back then they really couldn't do too much. I think he was put into an oxygen tent at the time, and actually he died at St. Vincent's. And I never realized I'd be moving to Jacksonville where my dad died. But it was just, you know, back in 1944, medicine wasn't what it is today, especially heart problems and that type of thing. In fact, I'm going to one of your doctors now because they think I might have that the extra heartbeats and so on, but I'm on a beta blocker and it's under control, so I'm doing pretty good. But I just thought since you're celebrating your 100th anniversary, we're talking about something that happened not 100 years ago, but close to it.
No, we're talking about history here, and I think it's really great that you shared that story because, there aren't record books out for everything like that, you know, and I think it's great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't sure at the time what hospital. Then I just recently found out that it was St. Vincent's. And let's face it, back in 1944, they didn't have many hospitals in Jacksonville.
It's amazing to see how much healthcare has evolved over that time, and that in the same building, I'm doing my procedures in. You know, 100 years ago, physicians were doing, you know, whatever they could at that time, and you know, they just served as the building blocks for what we can do now, and it's really actually very humbling. Thank you for your story.
And let's face it, you know, back then, if you had a rheumatic fever as a child, that was almost a death sentence.
Correct.
Because you know, it almost destroyed the valves and so on.
Correct.
And I just happened to turn the radio on and you were celebrating your 100th. So I said, well, we can go back 70-some years anyhow.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. If you have a chance, Richard, you should really go to jackshealth.com. And that letter that I was talking about at the very beginning of the show, which was written by the Bishop of St. Augustine, you know, 100 years ago, it's really cool to read. And it's just jackshealth.com.
Yeah, I would be interested in that. Certainly would be. Well, anyway, I just thought I would tell you something because I don't know how many people are still around that can remember their father back in 1944.
Right, not a lot.
Thank you for your story, Richard.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah, I was really happy he shared that, actually. And those phone lines are open, and it's 904-340-1045. I have Father Chua here in the studio with me, as well as Dr. Oza. Let's go ahead and go over to Nancy in Middleburg. Nancy, happy Saturday and happy New Year's.
Thank you very much. I just had a comment to Dr. Oza. I've never called a radio station before, but I listen to you guys. I just wanted to thank him personally for saving my father's life.
Oh, wow.
I get emotional when I think about it, but he's 80 years old this year, and it was when the AFib technique that they do was fairly new at the time, and his life had degraded. He was very, very active, and Dr. Oza performed the AFib operation on him, and he was a little bit older than they would normally do it on, but he was still tried to be very active. So I just wanted to thank him for saving his life. And he says it all the time that he's gotten all these extra years because Dr. Oza performed that AFib technique on him.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. That really, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to hear that from you. Thank you.
It's been wonderful. We've all been able to, you know, enjoy our parents that much longer. So thank you again, and God bless you.
Appreciate the phone call, Nancy. Dr. Oza, how's it feel when you hear that kind of thing? You know, not everybody's in a profession where they directly impact and save lives.
I mean, it's the most humbling experience that you know, all, you know, what I've learned throughout my life can actually help people as much as it can. And, you know, I just, you know, I thank God. I thank my family. I thank everybody that's helped me do this. It actually, you know, it's more than just me. It's the whole team at St. Vincent's. You know, it makes this job worthwhile. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't know if I could ever have a midlife crisis, because, you know, people have those when they wonder what their life is worth. And, you know, if I feel like my life it doesn't have any value, then I devalue all the lives of all my patients as well. So I don't think I'm allowed to have a midlife crisis.
Right. Hopefully you're allowed to sleep, though. I know. I know how hard that can be sometimes. So the cardiology department at St. Vincent's, we spent some time talking about like the minimally invasive procedures that you guys do. And some ways that you guys are treating the heart also is without doing a single operation. There's the Ornish Reversal Program, which is a complete lifestyle change.
It's really neat because we do some of the most high-tech procedures in medicine. We have the minimally invasive, the TAVR, the aortic valve that you can replace a valve through, again, and it's a tiny little needle stick in the leg, basically. But what we found, it's come full circle that, the things that really can change somebody's life long term is changing their lifestyle. And St. Vincent's had the foresight to really realize that. We're the only people in Florida that have this program, one of the only in the Southeast. And
it's been really successful, to my
understanding. It has been. They sent a team, myself and a team of healthcare providers over to San Francisco to actually meet Dean Ornish, who developed this program and train in their methods. And we've come back and we've started this program. We're on our third cohort now. We just started the third cohort this week, it's been fantastically successful. I actually give a talk at the beginning of every cohort, every 9-week cohort. I'll give a talk, and then at the end I'll give another talk to them. And really, my second talk is less of a talk than me listening to them tell their stories, because it completely transforms these patients' lives. I was talking to a friend of mine up in Chicago who's also an electrophysiologist, and I told him, I'm like, I've really found that, a story like Nancy that she told me, I saved her father's life doing a procedure. I mean, it's amazing. But what's truly amazing is when you can change somebody's lifestyle. If somebody comes back to me 6 months after my initial visit and says to me, I stopped, eating red meat. I stopped eating processed foods. I pretty much solely eat vegetables and fruits and whole grains, and eat a healthy diet. I exercise every day. I do yoga, and I feel like I did 30 years ago. I mean, that's truly, that I think affects me more than me even doing any of these procedures. So it shows me that, these people believe in what we're doing, that they take it to heart, and they've changed their lives. So I think that's a great lesson to learn from the Ornish program, that you can take your health into your own hands. You don't need always need these high tech procedures to save your life.
Yeah, it's a complete lifestyle change, and it's we're talking about a quality of life here. And I just think when we first had the doctors from St. Vincent's come on the show and talking about the Ornish Reversal Program, and it's not necessarily going to get you off of all your medications and that kind of thing, but you don't often hear about hospitals who want to help patients by getting them off of medications. It seems like every time I've gone to the doctor that they've wanted to give me this pill or that pill or whatever it might be, and I think it's so great that St. Vincent's is talking about a lifestyle change, changing your diet, changing your exercise and your routines. And the Ornish Reversal Program that you're talking about, so you say you're on the third cohort right now, just started?
Correct, yeah.
So you have those patients where they go in, it's twice a week. I believe it's four-hour sessions a week, if I'm correct on
that.
And they go in, they start it with the same people and they end it with the same people. Mm-hmm. And so you also come out of it having made friends too, which, the older you get, that's hard.
They become some of the closest friends in each other's lives. It's really amazing. Just that one 9-week session really, it solidifies a lot of those relationships, because there's the fourth component besides this after the stress reduction is also group support, which is probably one of the most important parts of that, of the entire Ornish program. And what that does, it makes people accountable to each other for their own health. They really, they look at each other, they make sure that they're all kind of progressing together. We have almost a 90% success rate. The Ornish program has almost a 90% success rate at 1 year of staying on the program. And I think that's the reason. If you, send somebody to a nutritionist and they tell them exactly what to cook, what to eat, it might last for a little while, but eventually, you can't go to the nutritionist every week for the rest of your life. You really have to have that support around you to make sure that you continue, to have these positive changes in your life. And not really relapse. So I think that group support component, and we're talking about faith, mm-hmm. I think all that kind of plays a big role in this program.
And so, Father, mm-hmm. Speaking of faith right there, I was reading on St. Vincent's website, jackshealth.com, that it said, rooted in the loving ministry of Jesus Christ as a healer, we commit ourselves to serving all persons with special attention to those who are poor and vulnerable. And mm-hmm. How do you and St. Vincent's fulfill that part of the mission?
You see, first of all, right from orientation of our new associates, we are reminded. This is the mission statement of St. Vincent's, that we are actually becoming an extension of the ministry of Jesus. What he did for the sick, healing the sick, reaching out to the poor and feeding them, and even raising the dead. And so we are reminded constantly to be instruments that, you know, Jesus would use, to be another Jesus to these people, to always reach out to people in need of us. And we have formation programs for associates, which actually bring us back to that. How it's important to serve. How do you find your life in the very act of giving it to another person? When you make sacrifice for someone else, how does that help you? How humans are created for other human beings. And so we try to make this reciprocal process. We reach out to other people because we as humans are created to do that. And that is the Christian way. Unless a seed falls down and dies, it does not bear any fruit. That's what Jesus taught. So we kind of die for other people, and in that way, we find our lives. And so that's why we have people return back to St. Vincent's as volunteers. You know, some of them were patients, some of them were associates who worked with St. Vincent's, and they just want to be part of that.
And you guys are doing something really cool coming up in March, and I'm so excited to talk about it. We have a little bit of time left coming up on the show, so stay with us, and as soon as we get back from the break, we're gonna go into it. And stay tuned to News 104.5 WOKV. You are listening to Ask the Doctor.
Our Ask the Experts weekend continues with Ask the Doctor. Ask the Doctor. Brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. To ask a question, give us a call at 340-1045.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm Tim Tompkins, and Ask the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's. I have Father Chua here in the studio, as well as Dr. Oza, returning guest. And this week we're talking about, we're celebrating, anyway, St. Vincent's 100-year service to the Jacksonville community. And it wasn't too long ago that I found out for the first time, I didn't know this, I'll admit it, that St. Vincent's was a not-for-profit, Catholic faith-based ministry or service organization, I guess I should say. And I'm wondering, Dr. Oza, how that impacts your role with the hospital and, you know, what that means for you.
It impacts it greatly. It makes it much easier to treat almost any patient that comes to me. We have a program called the HOPE program where patients that are uninsured or unable to pay basically apply to St. Vincent's for, and it's a basically need-based grant to manage all their health care, and they just basically write off the bills. So I have a good number of patients that have benefited from that. So I really have never had to turn anybody away. It's pretty amazing. And we can get them even the most advanced procedures. They've had AFib ablations. They've had lariat procedures. It's truly amazing what St. Vincent's does for the community. And it makes it a lot easier than, if I were, working by myself or working for another hospital, I'd really have to take a look at that, and we'd have to turn people away and send them elsewhere. I don't recall ever having to send a patient elsewhere.
Yeah, and I was on jackshealth.com, St. Vincent's website, and I was reading that, and that, you know, that was included in part of the mission statement, and saying that you are there to help people, and you're there to help the sick and the poor, and you won't turn people away. And I'm glad we got to touch on it, because I was wondering how that happened, and I was wondering how faith can impact health and how they can be directly intertwined and woven together, and how much more beneficial that can be to the patient. So, Father, how does faith help people heal?
Yeah, I did mention before that healing involves a lot of things. There is the action of the physician and the procedure or medication, but also there is the faith of the patient in the physician and what the physician is doing and the medication. But above all this, there is the faith that God is working You know, there is a being higher than both the physician and myself helping out. And that changes the body's openness to the intervention that is happening. Going back to what Dr. Ozzie was speaking about, you know, we are faith-based because, again, as I said in our mission, we are rooted in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And everything we do is based on that. What would Jesus do to this person? What would Jesus expect of us? You know, that is what motivated St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louis de Marillac and St. Elizabeth and Seton. And looking back into Catholic teachings, you know, it's because we believe that a human person is created in God's own image. And so we have a basic dignity that we share as humans that compels us, you know, to reach out to other humans in need, whether it be physical or, you know, material, like, you know, an illness or whatever. So that is why, you know, we make sure nobody is turned away. Mm-hmm. Everybody is cared for. That's what Jesus would do. And it has been very rewarding even to know, as Dr. mentioned, Dr. Ozzie, to know that, you know, you don't have to tell someone, sorry, we can't do this for you.
And that's powerful.
It is very powerful.
And I think this happened last year, and I believe I was working right.